attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. As you jump into the dialogue and discussion each and every day, we always open our telephone lines and allow you to ask your questions, make your comments, joining in with the discussion that we have on Let's Face the Issues. Lest I forget it, and oft times I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis and I will be talking about two very important issues today. One is biblical tithing. Does a Christian really have to tithe? Now, I'm asking that in a question because it is a question on the hearts and the minds of multitudes. Perhaps you're listening today and you've asked the question, what is tithing? Should I tithe? And some will say, well, tithing's under the law. I ought not to have to tithe. I can give out of love. If I give a dime or a dollar, that should appease God and it should be all right. Now, is that what the Bible teaches? Is tithing something that went away in the Old Testament? Is tithing something that you can pick and choose as a Christian and decide if you want to obey God or not? Is tithing something that is legalistic and simply trying to take something from the Christian? Or is the bottom line, tithing is designed to grow us as Christians, and as Dr. Stephen Alford called it many years ago, the grace of giving, opening the door for God's grace to be poured out upon us. We're going to talk about that today, the latter portion of the broadcast today. We'll talk about a subject that's very timely, very timely. Should Christians participate in Halloween? The occult, the demonic witch, ghoulish teachings that many Christians and churches celebrate. By the way, just a little, advanced statement. There's a church right here in Jacksonville, large Baptist church, right on Hendricks Avenue. They've got the entire front lawn prepared as a Halloween scene. And the center of that scene is an over 20-foot skeleton on the church lawn of a Baptist church. From a Christian perspective, is that okay? Perhaps you've seen it driving by Hendricks Avenue. I'd love to hear from you if you have. What are your thoughts on it? Perhaps you're a member of that church. I'd love to hear from you. Why is it there? What does it symbolize? What is the purpose of it if we're, as Christians, are not to participate in darkness? Not to walk in darkness, but to walk in light. Those are some of the things we're going to talk about today. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's God's truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, God gives us a declaratory statement about the word of God. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. If there's anything in the world, ladies and gentlemen, that we can hang our hats on as being permanent, according to the scripture, it's God's word. the truth of the Lord endures forever. It doesn't change. You don't have to modulate it. You don't have to have modern translations and new versions of the Scripture. By the way, just a little pet peeve of mine. Have you ever heard of anybody modernizing or writing a new version of Shakespeare? And yet it's hard to read, hard to understand. And I have people all the time, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, saying, well, you know, the King James Bible is so hard to understand. I need a modern version. You don't hear folks in the academic circle saying that about Shakespeare. And yet somehow, someway, there's a need to water down, to change and to modulate and to parcel out the Word of God. I have a problem with that. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be pretty factual today in the society in which we're living in. I've used as an illustration just in the past few days. If you're wondering about what is truth, listen to what the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party is saying about the shutdown of the government. Who's at fault? They're saying, oh, it's because the Republicans want to kill babies. That we're going to have millions of babies that's going to die in America because of the shutdown. There's that mantra, ladies and gentlemen, that goes forth. So who do you believe? What do we do? Where do we go to find truth? I've said it over and over and over again. The only place we can go to and find absolute, unequivocal truth is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. You may not understand it all. You may not be able to embrace it all, but the Bible is still the centrality of truth. But yet we have a society today where most younger Americans, the latest survey says, believe there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, in that survey, it reveals that 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. If you have more than one version of truth, you don't have truth. I've used the illustration many times, a half-truth is a whole lie. I'm looking at a headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. Further in the article, it says, a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education, and there's no more serious problem than the notion that is fashionable in academia today and for decades that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception, or it's simply a matter of culture, mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I always revert back to the statement about truth coming out of the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge. That's the attempt on Let's Face the Issues, is to stand for truth and to defend the truth. May I say that is needed today in America, perhaps more than any other single aspect of life and living. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a brief monologue. After our monologue, we're going to open the telephone lines, invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion today, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I've got with me today Dr. Neil Phelps and Dr. Glenn Davis. Dr. Davis, hailing from up in Folkestone, Georgia. Delighted to have him with us. And then Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, both professors leading out in the teaching in Conservative Theological University. We're thankful for their presence today. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, take a moment and say a word of introduction to our listeners today before we get started with our deeper monologue.
Well, I want to say good morning to, amen, my bride of 39 years, amen, all my friends and family, amen, that are listening, and everyone that I've invited to listen by way of ilovethetruth.com. Thank you so much, amen, for tuning in. And Dr. Youngblood, this is a very touchy subject for some Christians who are naming the name of Christ.
Yes.
I find it saddening and very disheartening that Christians can find some good to explain why they celebrate Halloween.
Amen.
There is nothing hallowed. That word hallowed means holy, sanctified, set apart, consecrated, etc., etc. But it refers to God the Father himself, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
But when we look at Halloween, I would love to know if anyone out there can tell me what's hallowed? What kind of glory, if you are Christian and you're celebrating this, what kind of glory are you giving to God?
Good question. Good.
Amen. Amen. So let's make sure, amen, we listen up. We're not here to criticize.
That's right.
We're here to provide you with the truth. I mean, because it's time for us to recover ourselves out of the snare of the devil.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps.
I'm so glad that I have an opportunity today to serve in this way, to try to share with people the truth and to help them to know what God's will is for our lives. One of the great things I'm thankful for is that God has helped me to understand the message of truth. And I want to know more of his truth.
Amen.
I want God to teach me according to David's words. David asked the Lord to teach him. He said, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." David realized that he didn't know it all.
Amen.
And that's my mentality. I'm like-minded with David. I believe that we're learning more and more every day, even if we're up in years, as I am. But
we're still less than 100.
One of the things I'm sure of, that even when Jesus comes back during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we'll be learning more about him.
Amen.
And on into eternity.
Amen.
There's so much for us to learn about the Lord. We need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of his truth.
Amen. Well, I tell people, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, that I can be a perpetual student. I love the study. I love the research. Love the writing. I love to have the privilege of writing and research and publishing the books that others coming and other generations can learn the Word of God. When we talk about this key subject, it's a dual subject today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about do Christians really have to tithe? Is it really an obligation to tithe? The second thing is, today is the day that multitudes listening to me, today is the day that multitudes that are listening, you've got cobwebs over your door, you've got skeletons hanging out on the front porch, you've got all kinds of macabre, ghoulish things out on your lawn that represent Halloween. We're going to talk about that today. And listen, I'll be very honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. It is my prayer when we finish the broadcast today, if you really want to be obedient to God, you're going to tear all of that junk down on your front porch and out of your front yard, and you'll stop having ghosts and goblins and pumpkins out on the lawn and promoting a ghoulish goblin, if you please, demonic, cultic celebration. That's my prayer today. But first, we're going to talk about the tithing. What is tithing? Just a moment. We'll set the stage. What is tithing? Where did the tithing originate? Was it commanded of God? Is it commanded of God today? Or is it the fact that are we under grace now, not under the law, and therefore we're not supposed to tithe? Let me ask a question. for Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, and we'll have a round of brief discussion. Then we'll open our telephone lines and start taking your calls. We already got several hanging on the lines now. Hang in there. We'll be right with you. But when we think about it, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, people will go to a Jaguars game, spend $200 or $300. They'll sit out in the cold or the sunshine or the rain. They'll spend $20 for a Coke and a hot dog that is probably a wretched grade of product. But anyway, and then go to church on Sunday if they're not in the at the football game on Sunday. Then go to church and tip God with $2, maybe even $10 if they're real, 50 real. If they are 50 cents. If they're real, real liberal in giving, they might even give $10. How is it that that is okay to pay mega dollars for entertainment, entertainment for the life, the physical life, and yet not want to feed our eternal soul? And it's about, listen, tithing is not something that God needs our money. It is the fact that tithing is, as Dr. Stephen Alford called it many years ago, it is the grace of giving. God provides his grace through our openness and our willingness to give back to God a tenth, a tithe of what he's placed into our care and keeping. So, Dr. Phelps, I start at my right-hand side here and go around the table. Give us a little thumbnail sketch, not the total picture, but a thumbnail sketch of the commencement or the beginning of tithing. And then Dr. Davis wants you to follow up on that. Then we'll open our telephone lines and take our callers.
The first mention of giving of tithes is found in the book of Genesis. Mm-hmm. Genesis is the book of beginnings.
Yes.
And that's where it began, not under the law.
That's right.
It was under the time or during the time of Abraham.
So let's clarify that now for our listeners. And the Genesis text you're talking about was before the giving of the law.
Yes.
Okay.
400 years before giving of the law.
Yes.
We know that the tithe was commenced with Abraham before the law was ever mentioned or given. Abraham offered the tithes to acknowledge that God is the possessor of heaven and earth. And that's found in Genesis chapter 14, starting at verse number 18, I believe it is. And it's also mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 9. God has given the instructions to the descendants of Abraham, the family of Jacob, that he formed to be his people. And let me just state as I begin, the tithe is the Lord's.
Amen.
And I want to read a passage of scripture found in Leviticus chapter 27, Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. And here's how it reads. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord.
Absolutely. So with that being said, let's take our first caller, and then Dr. Davis wants you to respond. I believe Kenneth is online. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. It's demonic. My first wife, let's take the baby out for Halloween. I say, no. I say, that is demonic. And, you know, she got all upset. I say, no. And I didn't tell her. I told her, I said, Santa Claus do not exist. I said, your mom and daddy, we Santa Claus. Because I don't want him to grow up with that lie. And tithing, it's like right now, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps and Pastor, I'm short on my rent, but I'm going to pay my tithe.
Amen. Well, Kenneth, one of the things, and we'll talk about that further in the broadcast also, when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 1 through about verse 6, you find that the Apostle Paul was talking to a group of people that were bankrupt, they were penniless, and yet they wanted to join in and participate in the giving. And the scripture says then in that, I believe it's the fifth verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, says they gave themselves first unto the Lord. tithing is ultimately on the basis that we have surrendered our hearts and lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And once we've done that, we love Him. We want to obey Him. We want to submit and surrender to His word and His will for our lives. And therefore, we're willing to give back to God a small portion, small amount, just one-tenth, a dime out of every dollar of what He's given to us. But, Kenneth, it is my prayer today that everyone listening will recognize the need to serve God, and part of that service and surrender is to give a tithe. Otherwise, we're robbing God. And we'll talk about that further in the broadcast in Malachi chapter 3, where God asks the question, will a man rob God? And the people say, where have we robbed you? And He said, in tithes and offerings. I call that text God robbers. We have a lot of God robbers today that's willing to spend $400 or $500 for a day out at Disney, and yet will not give God a tithe of their income. We'll talk about that further. But Kenneth, thank you, brother, for your call and for your testimony. We appreciate that and looking forward to what God is going to do in your life. Dr. Davis, take a moment, and then we'll take our next caller.
Well, basically, Dr. Youngblood, it's a sad situation to me. I mean, because I have wrestled with this thing with other Christians that all down through the years, basically, all 40 of my years in Christ, I have had to wrestle with different individuals about this subject. Now, what they don't really understand is the reason why they are having money problems is because they have a problem with money.
Amen.
Now, God has given you a dollar. I'm just going to use it in blunt terms. And if He can't trust you to give Him a dime back out of a dollar, and He has promised to do more with that dime than you can do with 90 cents, what's the problem? Why can't you trust God? Why can't you take Him at His word? Now, I understand this, and I've, again, had many people to confront me with this down through the years, saying that tithing is not in the New Testament, and we're the New Testament church, so we're not commanded to tithe. You're right. It may not be mandated tithing within itself, the word tithing, but the principle is there. Because when we consider, when Christ died on the cross, He fulfilled all the righteousness of the law. And if He did so great a thing for us such as that, then we have to understand that we ought to still have enough grace, love, mercy, and compassion in our hearts for Him to reward Him for what He did for us, that we wouldn't mind doing the same thing for Him.
Absolutely. Just now, a little footnote, if I can jump in, Dr. Davis. Matthew 23:23. I call Matthew 23 the chapter, the woe chapter, because Jesus is saying, woe unto. The word woe means calamity. And in the 23rd verse, Jesus says, woe, calamity unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, quote now, and not to leave the other undone.
Amen.
Jesus Himself is commending the tithe.
Okay.
And then in the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, it is very, very clear in the first 7 or 8 verses, and that's the text that Dr. Stephen Alford, he wanted to be with the Lord in 2004. Dr. Alford said it was the grace of giving. And in the 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and following, I'm going to read it for just a moment and let you continue your thought. The scripture says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according kata, as he prospereth in his heart. The decision is made in the heart.
Okay.
To rob God or to give back to God. So let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Very, very clear that is taught here in the scripture that it's the grace of giving. That is, we give. And by the way, I just have always, in preaching that text, Dr. Davis, I've called it, we're to give bountifully. mm-hmm. We're to give cheerfully, mm-hmm. and we're to give willingly. Not because some law says so, but because we're living under grace. And even the commandment to give in Genesis, the 14th chapter, God gave that as the premise, the basis, the perimeter, before law ever came into effect, mm-hmm. as Dr. Phelps said a moment ago, 430 years before the law was given. Mm-hmm. So now, what say you, Dr. Davis, to those that are listening, and perhaps they say, well, I don't believe you. I reject that. I say to them, and you said a moment ago, it's a matter of money and not a matter of money. I believe it's the way you put it. It's a matter of how you handle that money.
They have money problems because they have a problem with money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the clenching of the hands and saying, what's mine's mine, and I'm going to keep it. I believe Brother Davis is on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, and those participating. This is... something that has always bothered me for 90 years, that we have we lost you?
No, we're here.
Yeah, okay. It got real quiet. For 90 years, God has blessed me to be on this earth, and I've always, since I learned to trust him, is to realize that he says the tithe is mine. It belongs to him, regardless Absolutely. Of even 400 years before Abraham came on the scene, they still gave offerings to the Lord. I don't know whether it's 10% or not, but they gave offerings, and I've always tithed to the Lord, and I cannot outgive him. Also, I appreciate you bringing up the fact there that we're in a position right now where we are in this here Halloween hoop-de-loo, bringing up this First Baptist Church there on Hendricks Avenue with the skeleton that's in there. There's also another time of the year which Christians get involved in. I do not believe in tree worship. You go to a lot of Baptist churches at Christmas time, and they got a 9-foot Christmas tree in there. He forbid us to worship anything other than him, and there's more hip-de-loo at Christmas time on the Christmas tree they are on in the birth of Christ. These are two things that has devastated the churches of today, and people have gone astray after completely. I believe Jeremiah chapter 10 tells us that he sent Jeremiah to the house of Israel to learn not the way of the heathen, and that has to do with tree worship.
Yes, well, tree worship, it is the grove worship, as it was called throughout the Old Testament, where they'd set up the groves, and in the groves they would worship. And if I could benevolently counter a couple of things and then let you respond, the Christmas tree generally, because we look at the fact that Jesus Christ died on the tree, that is the cross. And when we look at a decorated Christmas tree, we think of all the gifts that we have from the Lord Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the symbolism that Christians have always had in that realm. Now, I do realize that you're speaking of coming out of the background with many, many, many looking at it as worshiping that tree, and that is the wrong concept of it whatsoever. But we need to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ came, he lived, he died, shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross, that through our faith and trust in him, we could have everlasting life. And the abundance that we have in Christ, and by the way, it touches back on the fact of tithing, the abundance we have through the grace of giving. It is God's grace, and of course in the 9th chapter, the 2 Corinthians 9, we find God's word talking about the grace that we have, and it gives to us, he gives to us abundantly. And it's talking about as a giving to the Lord of tithes, willingly and not grudgingly, but giving not sparingly, but in a bountiful fashion. That's God's ideal for us. And it's my prayer, as you said, getting back to the Halloween aspect of it, that Christians today, and it's my prayer at the end of the broadcast, I'm praying that multitudes of Christians that are listening will tear down the gobbledygook, take down the skeletons, remove the pumpkins off their front yard and front porches, and recognize that it's heathen worship, that it is worshiping demons, embracing and opening the door for demonic activities in lives. Brother Davis, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we have a blessed day in serving him. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, we've got about a minute before the top of the hour break. Quickly go ahead with your question.
Okay, I have a comment, and that is that I believe in tithes and offerings, and also, too, on Halloween, people do not realize that there's a thin line there from the evil demons that can also walk the earth, too, during that time. And I believe that it needs to be taught more than what is being done in the church.
Absolutely. Terry, you're exactly right, and thank you so much for your comments. You called your own target with your statements. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WT